This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
6:15 on this Monday, President's Day. One person texts us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870 with an answer to why we have mattress sales on President's Day. They say that was the best way to honor Bill Clinton. I see what you did there, but I think mattress sales on President's Day predate his presidency. In fact, it was back in 1971 that they started this whole President's Day thing. What makes for a great president? I thought that'd be a good question on this President's Day. So we asked Michael Frawley to join us, a historian who has studied the presidents throughout time. He's an associate professor of history and a dean at the University of Texas, Permian Basin. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I am wonderful. It's President's Day, and
is this
I'm
like your Christmas?
Like lots of people. So
is this like your Christmas? President's Day is the day that honors, you know, what you study as a professor and a historian?
Yeah, it's a good one. So, I like this one.
What makes a president great? You know, I think obviously that's very subjective, and the voters have throughout history had different thoughts on who should be president and why. But if you look through history for trends and try to understand what has made the best presidents of the United States the best, are there any common threads that you see?
I really think it's the ability to rise to the challenge of the time. You know, no president knows what they're going to face 100% when they go into office. Many of them, when they run, if a president runs on a domestic platform, we're going to do these great things for the country. All of the problems that they have to face while they're in office end up being foreign. And if they run on a foreign affairs platform, it ends up being domestic issues.
Murphy's Law, yeah.
So it really is the ability, I think, to meet the challenges that come with that. And sometimes it is really hard to tell who's going to be the guy to do that and do that well.
And when you look throughout time, who has faced the biggest challenges and who do you think has risen to the occasion best amongst them?
I mean, the easiest one, of course, is you'll say George Washington. Someone like Abraham Lincoln, of course. But then there are others that, you know, Herbert Hoover on paper looked like an amazing president. Like, he had all the qualifications you were going to want a guy for that office to have. And he got smacked with the Great Depression and had no idea how to deal with it or deal with it well. So, I mean, I really think that that's what you get when you're looking for those presidents. Abraham Lincoln knew what he was going to face when he came into office, but no one saw the Civil War coming the way it came.
And then
he had to adjust and deal, and he did it well.
You talked about Hoover and his failings due to the Depression, but then FDR comes in knowing he has to solve the Depression and rises to that occasion, but then he's there forever and has World War II to deal with as well. So he proved to be successful domestically and internationally.
Yeah, I mean, it did help. You know, a war does help to jar domestic economy and production. So that really did help him. But he had a plan when he went in. I mean, he's one of the rare ones that was able to handle both. And you've got someone like Lyndon Johnson, who came in with his Great Society wanting to fix the country domestically and had a strong plan for it. And then Vietnam derails him completely, and we lose a lot of great ideas and programs that he put forward because he got sucked into something else completely. So, you know, it really is just waiting for history to judge.
Has it always been, though, that presidents have to focus almost all of their energies on one or the other, a huge domestic agenda or issues to solve domestically, or an international agenda, typically involving war, that keeps them from being able to do a whole lot at home?
Really, since about World War One, yeah, because of how complex things. Now, there are other presidents. My favorite president is James K. Polk. He had two platforms. He had two planks in his platform that he ran on. He did both of those and then went home and retired. I will take a president that does the two things he promises and then goes home.
Polk. Rarely do you say anyone say, yeah, my favorite president was Polk, but few of us study it like you do. So that's interesting. I'm going to push the pause button right there. When we come back, I want to talk about more modern presidents that folks listening now may have actually lived through an experience and what has made them great or not so great. I'll also tell you my thoughts on what makes for a great president, and it may be a little different than what others have in mind. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. We're back with Professor Frawley after this, ranking the U.S. presidents on WWL. Right now, we got to get a look at traffic. 6:24, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker on this President's Day. Don't expect to get any mail today, and your bank's probably closed. That's how we honor presidents. Oh, and mattresses are on sale here on President's Day. Not sure how that became a thing, but it is. Michael Frawley is our guest, professor of history and dean at the University of Texas Permian Basin. He's a presidential historian. And I wanted to talk, Professor, a little bit about more modern presidents and who ranked the highest. To me, it's always been who acts the most presidential that always influenced me the most. I thought that Ronald Reagan kind of set the stage by using his acting skills to come off as looking and feeling and acting like the president. And he seemed to really grab the nation's attention. And you just felt like, now there's a president, whether you liked his policies or not. We've had some presidents since who maybe didn't come off so presidential.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be a more modern trend. Reagan was a great president for the American people. Like, people looked up to him. He felt like a president every time he came on television. And the backdrop of the things he was dealing with, you know, he was the face you wanted for that fight to end the Cold War and to bring down communism. You know, he'd been such a public figure for so long that when he translated to the presidential office, like you said, the skills that he had carried him through. And I think of a modern, when we think of the gravitas of a modern president, that's who we think of. And the presidents since him have had their moments, but no one like he did.
You know, television, obviously, and then most people listening don't remember life without television, but historians will tell you that television clearly changed the presidency of the United States. Once people could see the president, not only hear them on the radio or read about them in print, it really did kind of change what people looked for in a president, didn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when JFK was elected, the great debate between him and Nixon that really turned that election. If you're an American who listened to it on the radio, you thought Nixon won that based on his ideas and what he said. But if you watched it on television, JFK, according to people, clearly won it. Nixon was sweating. He didn't look presidential.
He had a stubbly growth on his face. He hadn't shaved before he went on TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, TV has, and now we've got, I mean, it's not even just a 24-hour news cycle, it's a 24-second news cycle, the way social media works.
And that was where I wanted to go next. As much as television changed the way people choose and think of presidents, now social media clearly was a tool very well used by Donald Trump in winning both of his presidencies. He was able to connect almost individually with so many Americans that became huge supporters of him, largely because of his social media posts. That's also clearly changing the way we pick a president, isn't it?
Absolutely.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And it's not just he was able to harness that, then his followers became an extension of that harnessing so that he created a web. So an idea wouldn't just hit the people who are paying attention to it now. It would echo through social media so well that people would connect with him, and it makes single issue voting easier for political parties to be able to make use of because of the 10 and 15 and 20 second soundbite.
And it also harkens back to many, many before any of us were alive, the way politics maybe was done back then, where there wasn't the fact checking of television and radio journalists and print journalists and internet journalists that there is now. Social media allows candidates to make claims and to put information out there that is able, because of the nature of social media, to bypass the fact checkers. And maybe it's true, maybe it's not. But if it resonates with your base, it wins you support.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we grew out of an era where, you know, newspapers and things like that were owned by political parties. We got out of that to a more professional journalism, and now we're going back to more partisan-driven attempts to reach out to people, which it's very common throughout
propaganda.
American history.
We can call it propaganda, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, it depends on what we're talking about. I mean, some of it's going to be propaganda. Some of it's just going to be what a political party believes. And, you know, it may not be propaganda. It just may be platform. But, yeah, no, you're right. And that propaganda and those ideas can just get a lot more traction, especially in ways we never imagine how they're going to get traction. You never know what's going to go viral.
Professor Frawley, we've run out of time, but before we let you run, is there anything else on this President's Day you, as being a presidential historian, would like to share with our audience?
You know, it's just the idea of the office of the presidency is just so important in American history and in American society, and getting out and voting every time that you can, especially in presidential elections, to make your voice heard so that the man in the White House represents you.
And we say, man, do you anticipate we will see a woman in the White House in our lifetimes?
Absolutely. I keep telling myself that. And one will come along that is as electable as anybody else.
Yeah, so far the argument is we just haven't had the right candidates. Thank you, Professor. Enjoy President's Day. We appreciate your joining us here on WWL. Mike Dettillier joins us after the news. 6:43, good morning. Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker on this President's Day. Mike Dettillier, WWL NFL analyst and co-host of Sports Talk, joins us. Morning, Mike. Happy President's Day.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Dave.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to observe it, so we'll just say that and leave that there. Kellen Moore was announced last week as the new coach of the New Orleans Saints. Had to go back to Philadelphia to participate in the Super Bowl victory parade. But even through that and then coming back here to New Orleans, clearly he's been focused on putting his staff together to coach this next iteration of the New Orleans Saints. What are we hearing and what are you thinking about what you've seen so far out of Coach Moore?
Yeah, you got a little bit of a late start here because of the Super Bowl, but you want to get your staff in place because later in the month is the NFL Combine. And so you want to have your staff set by the time that occurs later in February. Looks as though the big hires, will come pretty quickly at offensive, defensive coordinator. It always had been rumored that Brandon Staley, the former head coach of the L.A. Chargers, who was with the 49ers last year. They'll have an interview with him for the defensive coordinator's job. And Doug Nussmeier, who was a former Saints quarterback, who was bounced around the college and pro football world. You're a coach, you're somewhat like in the service. Man, you're going here and there and all over. And he'll also come in. Now, the one thing with Kellen Moore, he has made it pretty plain that no matter who he hires as his offensive coordinator, he is going to call the plays on offense. So the big hires is really on the defensive side of football. That's where I think you'll see something occur pretty quickly because I think he had pretty much zeroed in on Nussmeier and Brandon Staley. Even before he got the job, there were a lot of rumors going around about that.
So much like we saw under Sean Payton, you expect that Moore will be pretty much running the offense and will leave the defensive side of things up to somebody else. How do you feel about that approach in terms of success we've seen throughout the NFL on coaches calling their own plays on offense?
Well, one, you don't know both sides of the ball. So you try to get somebody with Kellen Moore's spot, he wants somebody defensively that can kind of run the show, that you pretty much the head coach of the defense and he runs the offensive side of the football. Even Sean Payton here sort of gave sometimes the duties over to Pete Carmichael, but Sean still had his hands involved with everything, and he also had Drew Brees for a long period of time, and Drew and Sean almost, you know, they kind of shared the same brain of calling plays. So whatever you feel comfortable with is how you should run it. Because I've seen defensive coaches the exact same way. They want to call the plays. And whatever you feel comfortable with, that's what you have to go with. And with Kellen Moore, he knows one thing. He's going to be judged on wins and losses, nothing else. And if he feels as though him calling the plays gets him more wins, that's what he's going to do. It's just preference on how you want to handle things.
And we've seen that work well here, and you kind of led me right into the next question. Sean Payton had Drew Brees. Drew Brees was always given options by Sean Payton of which play to run, and clearly there was a lot of audibling going on and reading of the defense and so on and so forth. Kellen Moore needs that in a quarterback as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you don't have that pretty much in place. And you know, we've seen other teams make a quick turnaround, but they had the right guy in at the most critical position at quarterback. 2 years ago, we saw the Houston Texans, who were flatlined as a football team, but they picked C.J. Stroud. And C.J. was unbelievable what he did 2 years ago as a rookie quarterback. And last year, Jaden Daniels with the Commanders. Okay, that's an anomaly. That doesn't happen all the time. With Sean, he was lucky, and there's always a little bit of that in this game, that Drew Brees became available. Now, a lot of that certainly was because of the injury he suffered with his shoulder out in San Diego. But Coach Payton, you know, at first was trying to trade for Tony Romo. Tony wasn't the starter back then, and he was trying to deal for Tony Romo.
Payton knew him from Dallas when he was an assistant coach there.
Exactly. And so there's always a connect the dot, and I think the same way applies to assistant coaches, Dave, that there's always a connection. Now, I've talked to enough coaches that say, okay, you get a job, you get the head coaching job, and you have a pretty good idea of assistant coaches. Did anybody you've either talked to or had even the smallest sort of connection with reach out to you if they think it's a better job and it pays more? So you sort of got to deal with a lot of that. That's the part of being a head coach. As an assistant, you didn't have to deal with that. As a head coach, yes. But that quarterback position, and that's something that, you know, still to be determined on how that gets handled with this football team for 2025.
Talking with Mike Dettillier. When we get back, I want to talk to him about what he thinks. We have seen, typically, now, maybe Peyton's first choice wasn't Drew Brees, maybe it was Tony Romo, but ultimately he got his guy. Who is going to be Kellen Moore's guy? Who does he think will be the quarterback that teams up with the coach to try and bring success to this New Orleans Saints team? And does it happen this year? Do we have to wait another year? Do we have to put a few more miles on the car before we can trade it in for a different model? We'll talk to Mike about that coming up next here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Tommy Tucker on President's Day. Who would you like to see the quarterback be for the New Orleans Saints? Text me now, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line while we check on traffic. It was a busy weekend for the new Saints coach, Kellen Moore, after being announced formally to the Houdat Nation. He had to go back to Philadelphia to participate in the Super Bowl victory parade, and then he had to put his staff together. He's been working on that all weekend, and there are questions about what this team's going to look like going forward under the new Kellen Moore administration. WWL NFL analyst and co-host of Sports Talk, Mike Dettillier, is with us this morning. Mike, let's pick it up with the quarterback discussion. Many wondering who's going to be Kellen Moore's quarterback, and do you anticipate that we'll find out this season, or do we have to wait another season till Kellen Moore gets the opportunity to install who may be his quarterback going forward?
You know what you have with Derek Carr. It's not going to be any better, okay? He's a guy that is always hovers around that 500 mark as a quarterback. And my thing is, if you know that and he's not your future, then move on. And all the options aren't good because of the salary cap implications with Carr. But I got a feeling that we're going to be seeing a lot of Spencer Rattler this year. I do think this football team goes out and gets a veteran quarterback. But is he the future of this team? No. So I think they're going to give Spencer Rattler every opportunity with this chance here in New Orleans for 2025. With Derek Carr, I think you know what you have. And it's going to be the same thing where he'll have good moments and then not good moments. You move off. If you know he's not going to be a big part of rebuilding this franchise and not going to be here in 2026, my deal is move off from it.
You know, I got a chance to talk to Spencer Rattler on Radio Row leading up to the Super Bowl, and he really felt like if he had a chance to work with the receivers in training camp, in preparation, and that they understood that they need to react differently to him versus a quarterback who stays in the pocket like Derek Carr, he really feels like with these receivers, he could have some success if they adapt their play to know that he is moving, he's rolling out, he's getting out of that pocket, and they need to move to a spot where he can throw them the ball.
Yeah, I think every quarterback feels that way, Dave, that they have a comfort zone with a wideout. They sort of both on the same page. And remember, for a good chunk of this season, the Saints ward out both Chris Olave and Rashid Shaheed, the two starting receivers. You had a difficult time from game to game to tell you who was going to play at wide receiver. You needed, you know, basically a press guide to look at their resume. So that has a lot to do with it. And also, too, offensive line play. Because I always recall Zach Streif telling me, you know, about he was just so fortunate that he played all those years with Drew Brees. Because he said, I always sort of knew where he was in the pocket. And we were watching a game with Ben Roethlisberger, and he was like, I would have hated to play with him. Because every play,
you never know what you're going to get.
you don't know where he's going to be. Because he had roaming sort of feet. He would move left, move right, move up. And I do think that is part of it, too. People don't realize it's like a well-orchestrated dance group. And if you're out of place, everybody notices it. And that includes offensive line play. So I agree with Spencer Rattler. I think most quarterbacks, they want that cohesiveness with themselves along with the offensive line and also their own receivers. And Spencer didn't have that.
No, he started like six games, but he never really got a chance to practice with that offensive squad and have them adapt to his style of play. Very quickly, Mike, obviously Coach Moore is going to be looking to make a splash in free agency or the draft. One or two names we should keep an eye on?
Well, free agency, it'll be real short. I don't think this team has a ton of money to do it. It'll be rebuilt through the draft, and you got to go with big men. I still think offensive, defensive line, tight end.
All right.
And that's where you should look at.
We'll get more from Mike on Sports Talk tonight here on WWL. Back with Jeff Palermo, LSU Baseball next.